don't know if you read the paper, I think it was a day or two ago, another unit, a transportation unit, is headed for Iraq from this area. And I don't know exactly where it was from, but I saw it in the paper. I don't know if it was on the front page of the Akron Beacon Journal, or maybe the section two, that a new unit's leaving for Iraq. You know, when a soldier is in Iraq, and my son Chris here today could tell you this, when you're in Iraq, and especially when you go out on a mission, you are extremely aware, cognizant of the fact that there is an enemy out there that is ready to take you out. An enemy that wants to kill you. They will use IEDs, improvised explosion devices, booby traps, all kinds of different means. But they have one thing in mind, is to kill you, to maim you. Folks, we have an enemy. And this enemy is more dangerous than Al-Qaeda or any other terrorist group. And this enemy wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our families. He wants to destroy churches. He'd love to destroy this church. We have an enemy. We are in a war. And I believe the battle is getting more intense as we get closer to the return of Christ. Dr. David Jeremiah, in his book Spiritual Warfare, writes these words: the battle lines are drawn up. God and his people are on one side. Satan and his demons are on the other. No one goes to war without learning all he can about the one he expects to fight. Countries spend millions of dollars on intelligence agencies to keep the government informed on the character and activities of their enemies. One of the principles of war is that you know your enemy. You know your enemy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, speaking of Satan, lest we be deceived, we are not ignorant of his schemes. And folks, I think sometimes we are ignorant of his schemes. The scripture is clear. Our war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual forces of wickedness, world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. And it says, put on the full armor of God that you can stand firm against the schemes, the wiles of the devil. And that word schemes or wiles is the word methodeis. The word we get methods, methodologies. And Satan has well planned out strategies to war against us. And with that in mind, I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. As we go on with our study of the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to study some of the schemes of Satan. In these verses, verses 1 through 7, we have the first mention of the devil. The first mention of temptation. We have recorded what theologians call the fall. The fall of man into sin. And it reveals in these verses the methodologies and some of the tactics of our enemy. And I want to read verses 1 through 7. You look at your Bibles. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, hath God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, oh, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, ha, you surely will not die. For God knows that the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Now again, in these verses, we see how our enemy works. And I'll tell you what, we saw that verse that says we're not ignorant of his schemes. The fact of the matter is, sometimes I think we are ignorant. Same stuff that our first father and mother fell for, Adam and Eve, in the garden. So I want to share with you, first of all, the tactics of Satan. Satan's tactics. First of all, he disguised himself. He disguised himself. Verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Satan took on the form of a serpent. Now, the serpent before the fall, I'll tell you what, I hate snakes. I'm going to tell you, I hate snakes. Don't get me around a snake. I hate snakes. But before the fall, they're beautiful creatures. God had created, in fact, today, if you look at them like in a book or something, they can be very beautiful, very colorful. God made these creatures. They were part of God's creation. And he looked on, he said, it's good. Now, today, I wouldn't say that about snakes. But before the fall, they were good. That was a part of God's creation. And Satan took on the form of one of God's creatures. Satan is subtle. And he's crafty. And what he does, he works, folks, through deception. Through deception. He disguises himself. Now, the Bible says he's like a lion. You remember the verse? He's a formidable foe when he comes at us like a lion. Be sober. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion. Resist him. Firm in your faith. I'll tell you, he's a formidable foe when he comes at us as a lion. But folks, he's a more formidable foe when he slithers up as a serpent and bites us on the heel. But he's a more formidable foe, a more crafty, even more subtle than that, when he disguises himself as an angel of light. Hold your hand here. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to show you this. And I want to show you how Satan works today. But 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. And I want you to see in verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that there were some false teachers, false preachers, false apostles that were coming into the Corinthian church and influencing the church. Influencing the church. And Paul writes to them in verse 3, "But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, by his deceiving, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." Verse 4, "For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear it beautifully." Here were these guys coming into the church. They were bringing a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different message. And you know what? I bet you they were carrying a big King James Bible. And I bet you they were in a three-piece suit. And I bet you they got behind a pulpit and they were, oh, and I'll tell you what, and the Corinthians were just falling right for it. Now look down to verse 13. "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." Go back to Genesis again. I'll tell you, Satan, one way he works, folks, is through disguising himself. Through disguising himself. And today, he's doing that. And his workers do that. They disguise themselves as workers of righteousness. Not every preacher you see that stands in the pulpit, not every preacher that you turn on the television and watch on television, not every man or woman that writes a book on spirituality is conveying the truth. Satan disguises himself. He disguised himself as a preacher today. He disguises himself as a Christian worker, as a televangelist, as a Bible theologian in a seminary. And I'll tell you what, the stuff that's coming out of some of the seminaries today, I'll tell you what, it is anything but biblical. And it's being taught there, and it's being brought into the pulpits. Satan is a deceiver. And I'll tell you what, in fact, it tells us that over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, in the last days, what kind of times are going to come? What kind of days are going to come? Perilous days are going to come. They're going to be dangerous. They're going to be depraved. There's going to be a lot of deception. And then Paul tells us what we need to do. This is imperative that you and I today get this book in our lives. Amen. That's why it's important for you every day to read this book. And not only read this book, but hide it in your hearts. Not only hide it in your hearts, but have your senses trained by practicing the Word of God so you can discern good and evil. And I'll tell you what, we need today God's Word in our lives because Satan is deceiving a lot of people, folks. Whatever you hear, you always test it through the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with God's Word, you don't believe it. Satan is a deceiver. Secondly, a second thing that he did. One thing, he works through deception. He looks good, but what he brings is evil. Secondly, he caught the woman alone. He caught her alone. Now, I know some people would disagree with me on this. I know that because I've talked to people that do. They say, because of what is recorded in verse 6. In verse 6, it says that the woman ate and she gave to her husband, and then there's two little words, with her. And I would say, yes, in verse 6, her husband was with her. But I don't think that in verses 1 through 5, Adam was with his wife. Why don't I think that? Now, I know it's an argument from silence, but he's not mentioned. It doesn't say that the serpent said to Adam and Eve, or to Eve and her husband. It says he said to Eve. And I just can't believe, now I might be wrong, but I can't believe that if her husband were there and she was talking to a snake, he would say, you know, don't talk to a snake. You know, you don't want to talk to any snakes. And besides that, what he's saying is not right. I can't imagine Adam not saying that. I think that he waited and he watched and he came to the woman when she was alone. Now, you know what? That's what Satan tries to do. Satan tries to get us alone. A lot of ways of doing that, too. He tries to, you know, that's like a lion works. He's like a lion. If you watch the Animal Channel and you watch lions, I did that. This was about a week and a half ago on the Animal Channel or Animal Planet or whatever it was. It showed a lion. You know how they attack? They never attack a herd. They do one of two things. They attack the weakest one. And I saw some things. I won't even say what they did because it just, oh. They'll wait, they'll watch for a weak one and they'll attack that one. Or they watch the herd and here's this water buffalo or whatever. And he's over there eating and he decides to come over here. And he's going over here, he's eating and everything. Gets away from the flock or gets away from the herd. And then you know what? They don't run for him. They run to cut him off. And once he's cut off, they move in for the kill. And isn't that like the devil? You know what he'll try to make? I'm going to tell you this. He will try to get you away from the body of Christ. Get you by yourself. Get you in a habit of not coming to church. Get you out. Well, you don't really need to go. Well, you know, I can study the Bible by myself. I can. He gets us by ourselves. Or he gets somebody into sin and he makes them ashamed to go to church. I can't go to church. You know what? I'd be a hypocrite if I'd go to church. Best place in the world for hypocrites is in church. Because God can get your heart. But he tries to get us off by ourselves. You know what, folks? We need each other. We need the body of Christ. We need fellowship. We need foxhole friends, guys. Our little groups that we're getting together in, three men in a group. We need it, Scott. We need fellowship. We need accountability. We need to have a group where we can say, you know what, I blew it last week. Pray for me. And I'll tell you what, that frustrates the devil. And I love to frustrate the devil. Love to give him a nervous breakdown this year. You know what? We need each other. But he'll try to get you alone. He'll try to get you by, oh, I can handle this. No, you can't. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. He built the body because we need each other. And that's the importance of fellowship. That's the importance of the Girlfriends Unlimited, getting together with other gals and just encouraging each other. But he tries to get people, he divides. Divides us, and then he moves in for the kill. By the way, what was the woman doing in the middle of the garden? Do you ever think of that? You know, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the middle of the garden, and she was just right there. I wonder what she was doing there. Was it curiosity? Was it just, she was just walking through the garden and she just happened to be there by that tree? Well, I'll tell you what. Watch out. Don't get near temptation. I just happened to be thinking, here she is by this tree. Don't, snakes hang out in the middle of the garden. Don't get near temptation. We're to get far away. Now, again, listen. If you're in the world, there's going to be temptation. Amen? I mean, you can't help being tempted. Drive down the expressway and look at the billboards. Turn on your television set. You surf? I've seen things on television. It's all over. Can't avoid temptation. All temptation. But I'll tell you what, sometimes we just flirt in the middle of the garden. Christians. There's a story about, it was back 100 years, more than 100 years ago in England. A rich family wanted to hire a carriage driver. And so they started interviewing men for the job. And they had a man come in. And they said, well, you've driven carriage before? Yes, I have. How close do you think you could drive this carriage to the edge of the cliff without going over? He said, well, I think I could get within a yard of that cliff. Okay. Brought the next guy in. Said, son, you want to be a carriage? Yes, I want to be a carriage driver. I've driven carriage before. How close do you think you could get to the edge of the cliff driving this carriage without going over? He said, I'm so good. I think I could get within a foot. Brought the next guy in. Said, you want to be a carriage? Yeah, I want to be a carriage driver. I've driven before. How close do you think you can get to the edge of that cliff without going over in this carriage? He said, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know. Because if I become the carriage driver, I'll stay as far away from that cliff as I can. You're hired. And you know what? In our lives, we need to stay as far away from the edge of the cliff. We pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. I can get there by myself. And that's what we do. We put ourselves in harm's way. We set ourselves up to fail. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to temptation, you know you're going to be tempted. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no opportunity for the flesh with regard to its lust. Where does Satan tempt you? Where's the middle of the garden for you? Don't flirt with it. You have a problem with alcohol, don't go sit with your friends in the bar. I'll drink Coke. The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. I'll tell you, he gets alone and then he catches us when we're not inspecting it. Thirdly, Satan casts doubt on God's word. Can't you hear him? Can't you just, hath God said? Come on. Did he really say that? You don't believe that stuff, do you? Come on. Can't you just hear the mocking, superior condescension to Eve? You're not that naive to believe that, are you, Eve? Satan attacks the word of God. He casts doubt on God's word. Today he may come, he said, hath God said? He created the heavens and earth in 6 days? Hath God said, marriage is between a man and a woman? Hath God said, there was a universal flood? You don't believe in that Noah's Ark stuff, do you? That's children's stuff. We know that's not true. Hath God... You guys, come off it. You think that... One way to heaven? Hath God said there's only one way? See, look at you. Have God said there's a hell where people will be forever and ever and ever? My God's a God of love. Hath God said? Boy, he's still, excuse me. I mean, he's still spitting out this stuff today. He is. He tries to cast despair and cast doubt on God's word. You don't believe that stuff, do you? That was written thousands of years ago. Hath God said? He's still playing this game today. He's tempting, you know what he also, he's tempting preachers to water down the word. You can't preach that. There's only one way. The postmoderns won't come back to church. You can't tell people there's a hell. We don't preach that stuff anymore. That doesn't sell. You got to be seeker friendly. Right. Well, tell you what, I don't want to offend anybody, but if the word of God offends you, you need to be offended. And if you don't come back, I love you. I want the best for you. I want Christ. But heaven help me if I don't preach the truth. Amen. The truth of God's word. In Corinthians, Paul says, listen, we are not like many peddling the word of God. The word peddling is the word adulterate. It was used of wine sellers, people that sold wine. They would take a skin of wine and fill it half up, and then they fill the rest of it up with water and sell it for the truth. This is wine. This is all wine. But they would water it down. They would peddle it. They would adulterate the word of God. And he says, we're not like that. We preach Christ in the God. And we're not watering it down for nobody. I'll tell you what, but it's being watered down, folks. It is being watered down in many pulpits and seeker friendly. This is, and I'm going to tell you what, we need to stand on God's word. And I'll tell you, if it offends me, praise God, I need to be offended. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Offend me. Show me where I need to change because you love me. I sat in a denominational banquet. This was many years ago. I sat beside a man and he leaned over. We started talking and he said, well, let me ask you, where'd you go to seminary? I said, well, I went to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. He said, that's not one of those seminaries that teach that the whole Bible's the word of God, is it? I said, well, yeah. He said, well, don't they teach biblical criticism there? And I said, yeah. He said, well, how can they teach biblical criticism there and teach that the whole Bible's the word of God? And I said, because it is. And I said, let me ask you a question. He said, what's that? I said, how do you preach on Sunday morning? He said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, how do you pick your text? He said, well, I go into the Bible and I open it up and I look through and I pick a text and I preach it. And I said, well, what if it's not the word of God? I said, you know, how do you know if it's the word of God or not? He said, well, I pray over it. I said, well, what if you pray over it and think it's the word of God and some other person like you thinks and believes like you and prays over it and thinks it's not the word of God? He said, well, I just have to take it by faith. And I said, if I believe like you, I couldn't stand in the pulpit and preach. I'd have no authority. This book from cover to cover is God's word. And if it says it, I don't care what it says, it's true. Whether it contradicts me, and I'll tell you, the people don't reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. They reject the Bible because the Bible contradicts them. Amen. Doubting the word of God. Doubting the word of God. Another way, not only does he cast doubt on the word of God, he casts doubt, folks, on the goodness of God. The goodness of God. And he did this, first of all, by misquoting what God had said. Look, hold your hand here. Turn back to chapter 2, verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. And look what God had told them. The Lord God commanded man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day in which you eat of it, you will surely die. Now look what Satan says to the woman. He says, he misquotes. He says, indeed, hath God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Folks, this is what? This is the exact opposite of what God had said. God said, you can eat of any tree of the garden. Any tree of the garden, except one. Satan says, did God say, boy, he's hard on you. Did he say you can't eat of any tree of the garden? Just the opposite. But God had said you can eat of any tree of the garden. Satan is inferring that God does not care about their good. God is out on them. You know, God puts you in paradise only to tantalize you with the sight of fair but forbidden fruit. God is a cosmic killjoy. He's put these rules there to mess up your life. Doesn't he say that today? Oh, God just has all these do's and don'ts and all these rules. And if you're a Christian, you can't have fun. If you're a Christian, it's just straight-laced, sober, and sad. And God doesn't care about you. He's still telling that lie today. And yet, very clear, God is good.
All the time.
All the time. And all the time, God is good. But the restrictions he puts, and he does have restrictions. He does have laws and commandments and statutes. Do you know what the Bible says? They are for our good. And when we obey God's command, you read the book of Deuteronomy. I've been reading through Deuteronomy. So many times it says, keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. Why? Because it's for your good. If you do this, you're going to be blessed. And if you break these commandments, it's to your own destruction. It's going to bring bad stuff in your life. God gives us rules. God does give us commandments, but they are for our good, not for our harm. But Satan says, you know, he's just holding out on you. He doesn't care, but he's not good. He doesn't care about you. Sometimes he comes to us and says, you know what? God doesn't care about you. If he cared about you, why would he let this happen to you? Look what you're going through. God doesn't care. That's a lie of Satan. A lie of Satan. And you know, do you see how Eve responds here? Eve responds by misquoting God. She misquotes God. She says, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you'll die. She does two things. First of all, she takes away from God's word. And second of all, she adds to God's word. Because she said, God said, you shall eat of any of the trees of the garden, but she forgot a word. What word did she forget? Did you see it? Oh, she forgot a word. Freely. Freely. Here it is. It's all for you. Freely. She forgot that. She left it out. And then she added to God's word. What she put in there? Or touch it. And I'll tell you what, folks, it is always dangerous to add to God's word or to take away from God's word. I'll tell you what, adding to God's word, every cult adds to God's word. They add to God's word. They have their own book, the Book of Mormon, or their own translation of the Bible. They add to God's word. every liberal church takes away from God's word. And God's word is very specific. Don't you mess with the word of God. Don't take away from it. Don't add to it. Accept it as it is. I'll tell you, folks, what Satan did was cast doubt on the goodness of God. Cast down. God is good all the time. God always has our good in mind. Remember that. When Satan tells you he's not good, Satan tells you, you know what? God doesn't care about you. God does. The Word of God says so. Number five. This is a big one. This is a big one. He denies the consequences of sin. He says, you know what? You will surely not die. You're not going to die. God said, the day you eat of it, you will, listen to me, die dying. That's how it is in the original. Die dying. And it's the strongest way to emphasize in the Hebrew language. You will surely, no doubt, you're going to die if you do this. And Satan comes and says, you will surely, no doubt, you're not going to die. That's the first lie of the Bible. That's the first lie. And the first lie of the Bible is you can sin and get away with it. There's no consequences for sin. Is he telling that lie today, folks? You can have premarital sex. No consequences. In fact, if you get pregnant, just have an abortion. No one will ever know, and everything will be just fine. Lie. You can cheat on your wife. You're out of time. She'll never know. Lie. Oh, I don't want to get too personal. You can cheat on your income tax. Everybody does it. No consequences. Fact, what you get back, you can tithe on it. Like the speaker yesterday at the men's meeting said, when the lottery is $1 million, I'm not tempted. But when it gets up to $100 million, you can do that, right? Doesn't make any difference. It's your money. Is it? You can sin and get away with it. Ho! Lie. Because the Bible is very specific. Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. I can sneak a peek at that porn. Doesn't hurt anybody. It's a lie, guys. It's a lie. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. If you sow unto the flesh, you will reap unto the flesh corruption. You sow unto the Spirit, you will reap unto the Spirit eternal life. Satan says you can sin and get away with it. Folks, even if somebody would get away with it in this life, when we come face to face with the Lord, we ain't getting away with it. Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, saith the Lord? There's no place to run, no place to hide. God sees it all. And one day we will give. I'm going to tell you, it's a lie of Satan. We should stay away from sin, eschew evil, because we love the Lord. And because, you know what? It's best for us. It's best for us. Well, I'm going to have to go quickly here. But number six, he tells a half-truth. God, he says, God knows the day you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan tells a half-truth. But the problem with a half-truth is that it is a half of a lie. They sinned. Were their eyes opened? Were their eyes opened, class? Yes, their eyes were opened. Did they know good and evil? Yes, they did. Not like God knows good and evil. They knew good and evil experientially. God knows good experientially. God knows evil intellectually. God does not do evil. God cannot sin. But they knew good and evil. Did they become like God? Who did they become like? Like Satan. A fallen, sinful, rebellious being. They didn't become like God. They became like Satan. Do you see how he works? Man, these last two, I'm going to go through real quickly, okay? The target, Satan's target, just put this down. His tactics, you saw them. The target, and we see this in verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. There's this target. It's listed over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's the three targets there. The lust of the flesh. She saw that the tree was good for food. The lust of the eyes. It was a delight to the eyes. And the pride of life. It was able to make one wise. He shoots at that target today, folks. The lust of the flesh. You know what he tries to do? He tries to get us to fulfill God-given desires outside the will of God. Outside the will of God. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. I'll tell you what. He brings the world before us and says, wouldn't you want this? Look how much fun they're having. Look at what they, if you just get a little bit more, you're going to be happy. And he puts it before our eyes. And the pride of life. Man, look at me. It's all about me. He's still using that. He's still targeting that today. Now look down at the last point here because we're going to have to end. But Satan's triumph. Satan's triumph. And he does triumph. Because she took of the fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband with her and he ate. She fell for Satan's lies. She disobeyed God and sinned. And then you know what she did? She became a prototype of all sinners. Because sin loves company. And she was not only content to sin, she gave to her husband. And he sinned. But you know, Eve was deceived. Adam sinned with his eyes wide open. Therefore, it says, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And death spread to all men because all sinned. He sinned with his eyes wide open. I just want to just give you this picture. Here is Adam and Eve. Here is Christ. Adam and Eve, folks, were in a perfect environment. A garden. A paradise. Jesus is in the wilderness, in a harsh desert wilderness. Here they are. They have all their needs met. Can eat of any tree of the garden. They had all the food. They had all their needs met. Here's Christ. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. And along comes the devil and tempts them. And they believe the devil, doubt God's word, and they sin. And Jesus stands on God's word, rebukes the devil, and Christ wins. Amen. Now, I'm going to sum this all up. We're in a war. You have an enemy. When you walk, I'll tell you, we prayed that he wouldn't be here today. Prayed a hedge around this church. But I'll tell you what, we get out in the world, he's out there. He roams around. He's looking for someone. He's looking for your number. Can we fight him? Can we win? We can. And the way we can is because this man Jesus met the devil and he defeated him. He defeated him ultimately at the cross and at the open tomb and at the empty tomb. Christ defeated the devil. And now, if we have Christ in us, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We have the power to resist the devil. But how do we do that? I'll tell you what. Get in your word this week. Get this word in your life. Memorize this word. This is the sword that we use. This is our M16. Memorize scripture. If you don't memorize scripture and you don't have your Bible, you don't have any ammunition. You might have your M16. You don't have any ammunition. Memorize the word of God. Get it in your life. Read it. Get filled with the Spirit of God. Because the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And then I'll tell you what, when he comes, claim the blood of Christ. Because they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. They did not love their life even unto death. Claim the blood. Lord, I claim the blood. Claim the blood of Christ. And resist the devil. And you know what he has to do? When we resist him in faith, what's he do? He flees from us. And you remember the armor of God in Ephesians 6. There's armor for every portion of our body but one. No armor for the back. Never tells us to flee from the devil. Flee the flesh, but don't flee from the devil. Resist him firm in your faith. I'll tell you what, is there a snake in your garden? I want to ask you this. Has the devil been doing a number on you? Or do you know somebody that Satan has been doing a number on their life? Maybe it's somebody in your family. He blinds the minds of the unbelieving. He keeps people deceived. He gets people divided. Maybe you know somebody that left the church and needs to get back into fellowship. He works in doubt. Doubt the word of God. Doubt the goodness of God. He works in denial of consequences of sin. He is out there working. I'll tell you what, we need to come and pray that victory home. Amen? Let's bow in prayer.